brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's a fact. You know why?
Why?
They got Family Affair on. Jody, Buffy, Mrs. Beasley. Nobody wants that.
Mr. French.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Mr. French was awesome.
I'd watch Family Affair over us, but that's just me.
Yeah, what's wrong with Family Affair? Don't be a hater. Oh, my God. The one person I thought would always... So he's a hater. Okay, that's fine.
He resembles one of the characters too much.
Mr. French.
Mm-hmm. Mr. French.
He just wishes he looked that good in a suit. Mr. French was a gentleman's gentleman. So, well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining to me today are Made Man Brent, the hater...
But happy to be here nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, I'm a gentleman, and I use the term loosely.
And good old boy, Jess.
Good morning. Still glad to be here in the dark. My eyes never adjust to the light.
You're like one of those trout that lives in a cave. You just swim around, do you bump into stuff?
I'm translucent.
There you go.
That's why I have to stay in the cave.
That puts a new spin on the word translucent.
Yeah. I can hold him up to a 60-watt light bulb and see his insides.
Right. So. Makes Maury's job easy. He doesn't have to do x-rays or CT scans.
Like one of those little lizards, you can like see their heartbeat through
their
skin.
Right, yeah. Just look.
I like it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I see. 238 already in the toilet. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and whiskeys. We are going to be discussing today are... Yellowstone, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, finished in toasted staves. Lux Row 4-grain double single barrel bourbon. Davies County, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, medium toast finish. Barrel Bourbon Foundation. Hirsch, the single barrel double oak bourbon, release number 2. Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon, 2023 release. Yeah, I know. It's 23 release. What do you want from us? Angel's Envy Cask Strength Rye 2023 release and the Remus Gatsby Reserve 2023 release. So, yeah, let's let him, I guess. All right, we're going to have Justin do the sip ratings.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth, girly man.
And you wondered why I was unsure.
Two sips.
Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips.
It's interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips.
Let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips.
Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
It sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger killed and ate Mick Jagger. Like, consumed his bones and all. I mean, like, what was that? That was weird. I was like, expect get to the chopper. You know, no.
No, ooh. That was Hans of Hans and Franz.
That went like right off the cliff.
Oh, pump you up.
Okay. Well, at least the whiskey's good. So, so let's have Brent tell us about our first whiskey for today.
Thanks, Bob. So Stephen Beam opened up Limestone Branch Distillery in 2011 with the goal of crafting the finest spirits in small batches. Stephen is a seventh generation distiller with a history of distilling on both sides of his family, Beam and Dant. So in 2015, he brought the Yellowstone brand back to the family. Every time I hear the word Yellowstone, I think of Beth. I don't know why that is.
Because she's memorable.
Yeah.
Go Beth.
So this will be memorable. Yeah. So
I can think of two reasons why you're thinking of Beth. Yeah.
So the Yellowstone, first one is the Yellowstone Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey finished in toasted staves. It's 50% ABV, 100 proof. This is the first release within the brand's Special Finishes collection. It starts with the brand's traditional bourbon mash bill, which is then stave finished. Beam, a seventh-generation master distiller, hand-selected a combination of five different staves, high toast, American oak double toast, vanilla, Rick House, and spice rack to get the desired flavor profile. Kind of reminds me of what they do with the Maker's 46.
I agree.
You know, it's the color of this one, it's got a nice, it's like
kind of a burnt copper.
Yeah, a little bit on the bright, like a bright copper, burnt bright copper. On the nose, I get, the first thing that hits me right away is a cinnamon. And then I get some vanilla and that little bit of caramel with it. On the palate, I got, again, the cinnamon is the first thing to hit me. Cinnamon and black tea was what it reminds me of. It's came out nice. I get a little bit of cocoa at the end of it, and that's just like on the finish. A little bit of cocoa and tobacco on the finish. Nice medium finish. It's very enjoyable. I really like it. Justin?
This would be my pick for a breakfast bourbon. Give me some bacon, eggs. Oh,
Justin, you're my hero.
Hash browns and this. Matter of fact, when Bob and I got to go to Yellowstone, they made us an amazing breakfast. And that breakfast that we had, this would pair with it perfectly. Bacon, eggs, pancakes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just kept going back and getting more bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon. Eat a piece of bacon, have a sip of whiskey, eat a piece of bacon, have more whiskey. It was a good morning.
So nice. on the nose, it was like a pumpkin spice latte with oak.
Okay.
And
what were you smoking last night?
We'll never tell.
Okay.
And on the palate, I got like nuts and sweetness. It was amazing. And the finish is just sweet and spicy. I really enjoyed this. I can't wait to have this at breakfast tomorrow.
How would that be any different than every breakfast you ever have, you raging? Never mind.
Different whiskeys. But this one's the best breakfast whiskey.
Well, actually, the kit they sent us came with little samples of the different wood staves. So
cool.
Oh, that's neat.
You know, I like to chew on a couple of them.
Little test tube. So what'd you think, Maury?
Well, thank you for asking.
Well, you're here. I might as well ask.
To echo a theme, when I first poured it, I was fairly underwhelmed. But my patience has been rewarded. And it's really evolved nicely in the glass. I agree with what Justin has said, and Brent as well. The toasted caramel and vanilla on the nose and some fall spice and a lot of cinnamon. I didn't think the cinnamon was overpowering, but it was definitely obvious. The palate, I got the black tea. I got the toffee. I got a hint of walnut. It was mouth coating. For me, the finish was long. It was it was just some cocoa, some tobacco, some oak, just went on and on and on. I really enjoyed this whiskey. I thought it was a pleasant surprise and really a step up for what I've had in the past from Yellowstone.
Now, I added water to this after initial tasting notes, and I don't think that the water really changed it any way, one way or another.
Thank you for that little tidbit. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah, once in a while, the water doesn't do anything.
Right, you just want to try
always,
it out. Though,
always
you know?
Give it a try because it absolutely can affect it. So,
I thought the water just simply diluted it a little bit, but didn't really offer any substantial improvement.
Sometimes you'll get something that will pop when you add a couple drops of water.
Bob, do you have anything you want to add to this whiskey before we rate it?
I think this is one of the best releases that they've done. I mean, short of their limited edition annual release. You know, their whiskey every year continues to get better and better. Not that their earlier stuff was bad, but I mean, it just gets better and better. Steve and the team over there doing good work. And I think this one is absolute winner. I mean, it's just, there's caramel and vanilla and cinnamon on the nose and walnuts and burnt toffee. And a little bit of white pepper. I mean, it's just it. This is the real deal. I think he did a great job picking the staves and pairing the staves with it. They didn't over finish it, which is so easy to do when you're doing stave finishes. I think this is an excellent example of what those guys are capable of. So we're going to be giving the Yellowstone Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey finish with toasted staves a well-deserved 4 sips, guys.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we'll have Justin tell us a little bit about that one.
So we're going to talk about Lux Row 4-Grain Double Single Barrel Bourbon. It's 57.5% alcohol by volume, or 115 proof. This expression from the Bardstown, Kentucky-based Lux Row Distillers is a combination of a single barrel of a 4-year wheated bourbon and a single barrel of a 4-year-old rye bourbon, hence the name Double Single Barrel. The wheated mash bill produces another smoother bourbon with caramel and citrus notes and velvety oak finish, while the rye mash bill produces a spicier bourbon with hints of caramel and vanilla and smooth, mellow finish. Together, the bourbon's 4 grains, corn, wheat, rye, and malted barley, come together in a balanced, flavorful mix of both mash bills. So I definitely got all the different components on the nose. The palate was sweet and spicy, and the finish was long and spicy. What did you think, Maury?
Well, I'm going to be a little contrary today. I thought this bourbon was high expectations and low on the delivery. I always like when they over-deliver and under-promise, but for me, this promised more. But we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing the Lux Row 4-Grain Double Single Barrel Bourbon. Maury was finishing up his thoughts.
Thank you, Bob. Again, lovely color. Noses some complexity. I thought it was a little bit simplified on the palate. Finish was medium to long. Pleasant bourbon. Really nothing inherently wrong with it. I think it's going the right direction. Brent, what'd you think?
Yeah, on the nose, I got some corn and I got like a musty note to it. And then on the palate, I really thought it kind of reminded me of a dusty 70s bourbon, along with added cinnamon and some flat cola. But everything on the finish though was all front forward on the palate. It was just, it coated your mouth and especially on the sides of your tongue. That's where everything finished up for me. It was good. I don't say great, but it was, you know, it was good.
I'm with you. It's the same thing for me. When I drank it, I thought this is very similar to an older dusty, you know, late 70s, early 80s, bottle that you find on the shelf. That cola note that you find so often in the old dusty bottles was there. It's got a dusty kind of dusty oak finish to it for me, but it's mostly front palate for me. I don't get much in the back at all. But definitely interesting. And man, if you could figure out how to if you could figure out how to make a whiskey that gives you a full palate and a really good long finish that has that dusty flavor, and if you could do that with contemporary whiskey, you could make a damn fortune. So we're going to be giving the Lexro four-grain double single barrel bourbon three sips.
Interesting.
So that leads us to our next whiskey, and Maury's going to tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Daviess County Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, medium toast finish, 48% ABV, 96 proof. The Daviess County Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, finished in medium toasted American oak barrels, features Daviess County Bourbon's signature combination of rye and wheated bourbon mash bills, which is aged for 4+ years in charred oak barrels before finishing in medium toasted barrels. This whiskey has a very nice, bright copper color. On the nose, it's got warm aromas of toasted nuts, some cocoa, and a little hint of oak. On the palate, classic notes of caramel, honey, roasted coffee, and a little bit of I get a hint of coconut. Finish is medium. It's a pleasant whiskey. It's really well made. It's delightful. It's easy drinking. It's definitely something you could sit on the back porch and whether without a nice cigar, just enjoy all afternoon. I really liked it. Brent, what'd you think?
Yeah, on the nose, I got like a cocoa, but it was like a dried cocoa, you know, like that, like the powder that goes up your nose kind of thing. And
I don't know about that kind of powder.
Brent has a problem with nose candy, but he doesn't quite understand nose candy is just an acronym. You know,
it's
a term.
He sorts pixie sticks. I've seen him.
That, you know, that coconut note that you got on the palate, mine was kind of like a burnt coconut. You know, it was kind of, you know, it tasted like a little bit of a burnt coconut. Lots of caramel, a little bit of honey.
They know, say like that's said? A sign of a stroke. You smell a burnt coconut.
Oh, yeah?
Just saying.
Too late.
Again, this one, I gave every single one of them water after I did the initial tasting. And I don't, again, this one with the water, nothing really, it didn't really help it at all. So, gave me the choking fit. That's what it
Justin,
did.
Justin, can you add anything?
You're supposed to swallow it, not inhale it.
Yeah.
I think Brent said it all. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, I already said what I think, so I'll let Bob tell you what he thinks.
Well...
Justin said his three words. Don't get mad at him.
He's a man of many words and many talents.
On the nose, there's definitely a roasted nut and sort of a dusty cocoa to it.
I got at least two nuts, maybe three, but if you got one nut, it's okay. I understand your problem.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
But I can help him with that one nut.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
What am I, John Kruk? Okay.
I'm going to make you a pair.
Yeah, I got a new name for your medical practice. But on One Nut Industries.
It's kind of dark, burnt caramel.
Once upon a nut.
Dark, burnt caramel. A little bit of a sweetness to the front of the palate. I'm with you. The coconut is almost like roasted or burnt. And kind of a roasted sort of mocha.
Roasted, not burnt. Burnt implies a negative connotation. It's pleasant.
No, it's absolutely pleasant. But it's, you know, it's definitely a very, you know, it's not like coconut straight out of the shell for sure. I enjoyed it. I thought this one was definitely very interesting. So the medium toast finish seems to definitely lend it some interesting flavor profile. So we're going to be giving the Daviess County Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey medium toast finish a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So that's going to take us to our next whiskey. Let me grab that.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about it, Bob?
So this is the Barrel Bourbon Foundations, 50% ABV, 100 proof, 5 years old. This is a blend of, well, it's 5 years old because it's always the lowest number in the batch. This is a blend of 8-year-old Kentucky bourbon, 5-, 6-, and 9-year-old Indiana bourbon, 8-year-old Tennessee bourbon, and 5-year-old Maryland bourbon with a combined mash bill of 73% corn, 23% rye, and 4% malted barley. So another of their blending experience from Joe Beatrice over at barrel bourbon. And he has really become a really just well-tuned machine when it comes to his blending skills.
His first couple of years, I was a little questionable, but lately, though, he's been on target.
Yeah, some of the recent releases have just been absolutely stunning. So
yeah,
especially that gold label. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But this is their foundation, and there's a sweetness to it. A little bit of a melon, some peaches, some apricots to it. There's a little bit of a citrus on the nose and on the palate. Hold on. On the palate, there's definitely maple syrup or Karo syrup kind of sweetness to it. It's got a nuttiness. There is baking spice. It's got a nice mouth coat to it. Gets all around the tongue, under and down the sides and the front and the back. I think this is a great blend. I think he did a really good job. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, to me, I got like a strawberry nose to it that followed with a strawberry cream on the palate, which was, I thought, really pleasant. I had a lot of other flavors in there as well, the honey and the hazelnuts like on the nose, and then I got some nuts on the palate and a little bit of a lemon to it as well. But I keep going back to is like I love that strawberry cream that comes out of it. And that's the most amazing thing for me that I like. It's just a nice, creamy mouthfeel. Goes on. Adding water didn't really change this one as well. It was the same. You know, it kind of got the same thing. So, Maury, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you on the creaminess. I apologize, but I didn't really get the strawberry as much as you did. I just got a really pleasant, viscous, creamy mouthfeel. I thought this whiskey was delicious. It just was really pleasant, really enjoyable, really something I could just sit and just savor all afternoon. It's just very, very pleasant. The finish just kind of goes on. It's got a mouth coating feel. I liked it a lot.
So when I looked at all the elements they threw in there, I'm like, what is this going to be like? Not in the most positive way in my mind, because it just seemed so disparate and random. But I smelled like a beautiful pumpernickel rye, like you're walking into a really good New York baker that knows what they're doing. On the palate, I got like rose petals. I got like a really dark chocolate tiramisu. The mouthfeel that everyone else got, that it was creamy. It was just wild. This guy really knows how to blend. What'd you think, Bob?
Yeah, Bob read it.
I'm the one who read it. Thanks for paying attention.
Anytime. Yeah.
No, I think this is a solid blend. I mean, he took some interesting components, and honestly, some that you would look at and go, really? I don't see how that's going to work. But again, that's the blender's art, and that's the nice thing about blending is taking the sum of the parts and making it greater than the sum of the parts. And I think he's done a good job here. So, you know, kudos to Joey. Did it again. I think this is a very well put together whiskey.
Mm. Yeah, you see this one on the shelf, you know, definitely go for it. You know, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that the first couple of years of barrel bourbon, I was kind of, you know, off put about them. I hadn't really found, it was kind of hit or miss of, you know, finding the right one and stuff. We did a couple of barrel picks with a local, with Harmeet there, and he's got a couple of great picks in his store that we did. But man, these things are coming around. These are,
I agree.
Yeah.
They really have made a lot of progress. And from the beginning, they've really continued to evolve.
Yep.
You were going to say something.
No, I was thinking about
that.
I was going to mention
that.
I was
going to
mention
somebody's.
I was going to mention somebody's name that fell in love with him early on and has been, you know, has been going, loved him early on, even in the early days and stuff. And I just didn't catch on to him at that early. It took me a while to catch on to him. So,
well, sometimes it's that way. Depends on your palate. So
yeah, and they're really evolving to a great degree.
Well, again, blending is an art unto itself. So the ability to take, you know, so many different components and be able to understand how they're going to interrelate with each other and how they're going to work and how they're actually going to make something better, that's very difficult. That's very difficult. You know, and the people that are the great blenders in the world are completely different people from the people who make it. You know, the distillers are you know, completely different. Palettes can work completely differently. So, you know, when you get somebody who really knows what they're doing with the blending, that's a unique talent. So I think they've done a good job with this one, and we're going to give the Barrel Bourbon Foundation a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's very nice.
So that gives us up to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So now we're going to talk about Hirsch, the single barrel double oak bourbon release number 2. It's 45% alcohol by volume or 90 proof. It's 80% corn, 12% malted barley, 8% rye, and it's 56.2% alcohol. Never mind. The second release of the single barrel double oak bourbon from Hirsch is made of a 9-year-old Kentucky bourbon with a mash bill of 72% corn, 13% rye, and 15% malted barley, aged for 8 years in a new number 4 char American oak barrel, followed by another year in a number 1 ultralight char barrel. So it's got a nice light brown color to it. You get a really interesting nose off this one. It smells kind of like a campfire where they use like really good hickory wood.
As opposed to what, that cheap hickory wood they make in China?
Yes,
okay. Correct.
So to that one. And it's very sweet on the palate. It's spicy. And then the sweet and spicy goes right along with the finish. What do you think, Maury?
I agree with you. It's interesting that you describe it that way, but you're 100% correct. It is sweet and spicy. Very interesting offering. I thought that I was expecting something a little different. It's got this funky mahogany color on the eyes. It's got an interesting nose. When I first poured it, I was not overly impressed. But again, as has been the theme today, time and air. I did not add any water to it, but I agree. With a little bit of air and time in the glass, it really started to showcase a lot of the stuff that you've discussed. And I've gone from being, you know, on the fence about it to enjoying it. I think it's a pleasant sipper. It's not the best thing I've ever had from Hirsch, but I think it's a well-made whiskey, and I think it drinks very nicely today. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, on the nose, I got some bittersweet chocolate, like a mocha. It's the palate to me was like a brandy dark fruits, and that was the fruitiness of it, along with some vanilla, and then the cinnamon was the spiciness of it. And it just kind of, I don't know, they don't quite work all the way together with me. The brandy dark fruits just kind of like, doesn't really make it for me, but I can see where they're doing with it. It's pleasant, but it's not like, yeah, I got to go back to that one. You know, it's one of these ones like, okay, I could try that once in a while, and you know, and it's just not something I'm going to go to over and over and things. So, Bob?
I'm not so sure about that. I've seen you go over and over to a lot of things.
I also added water to this, and again, water did not change these. Most of these bourbons, water's not changing today, so.
It's interesting, right?
It is interesting.
Yeah, it often does.
Often it does. It's
the luck of the draw.
Yeah. Well, it's you never know. Again, your worst case scenario is it waters it down, fine, sip it back, and pour another glass. That's your worst case scenario. your best case scenario is it alters it fundamentally and it makes it that much better. But it's usually somewhere in between. But, yeah. You know, once in a while, you know, give it a shot. So,
I mean, I'm not an ice drinker, but if I were, none of these would be negatively affected by a cube or two.
No, no.
So if that's you, go for it.
Now, I enjoyed the nose on this because it's, like he said, it's kind of like brandied fruit or stewed fruit. Plums and raisins. And it's got a nice nose to it. On the palate, On the palate, it's like a dark, dusty oak. This one also drinks kind of like a, like an older, dusty whiskey. But it's definitely, it tastes like it came from somewhere, you know, way down low in the rickhouse. There's a dark burnt toffee to it. There's a little bit of a tobacco leaf, a little bit sort of a cigar box kind of
Yeah, flavor. That's that other flavor that I'm not, that was kind of coming out at me, you know, the tobacco leaf that I really didn't pick up on right away.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it's this, honestly, this tastes like a tobacco barn. You know, old, dusty tobacco leaves curing and hanging from the ceiling. This is like going into a Kentucky tobacco barn for me. But it's definitely interesting. I mean, I'm enjoying
it's
it.
It's not to the point where it's a geek whiskey. Mm. It's not that at all. Mm-mm. You know, so
but it's not a standout.
Right. This is probably the most interesting whiskey that we have here today that we're doing for this show. This is probably the one that's polarizing in all directions that everybody can talk about, you know, and everybody
and
can.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because there are going to be people that are ambivalent about it. There are going to be people who are going to taste it, who are going to love it, and everybody in between. So is there anything wrong with it? No, it's a well done whiskey. It's something that some people are going to like, some people are not. So we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up our final thoughts on the Hirsch, the single barrel double oak bourbon release number 2. So I think we've all pretty much said everything we were looking to say, so we're going to give that a rating of 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This next one's the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon, the 2023 release. It's 59.1% ABV or 118.2 proof. The color, the Angel's Envy color is always a little bit brighter, it kind of seems, than most of your bourbons. It always seems a little, a little more on the 80-ish penny side than some of your darker bourbons. Most of the time. Now, so they have a couple that are dark, but this is not one of them. So on the nose, I got a creamy strawberry nose to it, cherries, marshmallows, just beautiful nose. And on the palate, it just follows through. It's just a creamy, creamy mouthfeel. I got the marshmallow on it. Let me go back here again. Oh yeah, that strawberryness comes through. The cherries, just the nose and the palate on this one really match very well together. There's one and the same almost. And when you drink this one, this is not like drinking 118 proof. This is, you feel like you're drinking like a 90 proof or something like that. You'll be fooled when you taste it, because I don't know that I've had anything like from them that's this creamy. Usually you get that, you know, a little bit of a punch to it, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's what my cast strength is like. And they didn't do that for this one. So, Maury?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brent. It didn't taste like cast strength at all. It drank like a very low proof whiskey. It did not drink like 118. It was more like candy. For me, I got everything you said. I got the creaminess. I got really a lot of marshmallow and a hint of strawberry. And like I said, it was fun. It was interesting. It was candy, but it was not like, it didn't drink like the expensive, high-end, hard-to-find whiskey that it really is. And so I thought it was good, and I enjoyed it. But compared to what I'm used to and what I've had before on these cask strength bourbon, it didn't taste like either cask strength. It didn't taste like a traditional bourbon. It didn't have a lot of the bourbon spice that you'd come to know and love from a cask strength bourbon. It was just like a fun little everyday whiskey.
It didn't stand out as being like this punchy, go at you kind of cask strength.
Right,
very different from every other cask strength that they've had.
Not knowing the price, I'm thinking this drink's like a $30, $40 bottle, but it's probably a $250 bottle. And for that, I think, you know, you're just expecting something different.
Yeah, this is the very first year that I didn't get one of their cask strengths, but I've had every other year since 2012 that I have. And this is the first one that, to me, is not like one of these is not like the others. And this
I agree.
Is it.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. We're on the same page. Justin, what do you think?
So when I first poured this, I couldn't get much of a nose out of it, but it was like sweet and woody with elements of tart, and it tasted like a Madeira finished product, even though it probably isn't. And mouthfeel, it really reminded me of Cream of Kentucky. Either one of the two releases that I've had.
Mm.
And it was a sweet and spicy finish. After air and water, I got a lot more spice out of it. I got a lot more intensity. Not more complexity, but more intensity. So I thought it was fine. What'd you think, Bob?
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's different than what you're used to, but I don't let that bother me. All I care about what's in the glass I'm drinking right now. So. Oh,
very enjoyable drink.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong there. It's not
unusual.
Right. It's completely off the radar from the other cask strengths that they put out.
It's very different. It's very different than past releases. The past releases were more the brick to the face. This is, you know, more subdued, more laid back, more layered. It's very floral.
Yeah. 2014 is still my favorite of all the years.
It's very floral. There's a lot of bright fruit in here. And on the palate. Mm. See, I'm with you. That's the thing I like about it, is it tastes like it smells. And not whiskeys don't always do that. Sometimes they taste completely different. And sometimes they taste kind of like what they smell. This is like everything you smell.
What you smell is what you taste.
It's distilled into that glass.
And we've had stuff today that what you smell and what you taste are completely different. They didn't match up at all.
That's when you nose that, you're getting exactly what you're smelling. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really interesting release. I thought it was a really good release. I think it's a definite left turn from what they've always done, but at the same token, that's fine too. I think they did a really good job.
They make left turn lanes, you know.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, overall, I thought it was well put together. So we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon 2023 release. And yeah, I know it's real late. We got a backlog, you know. They keep putting out too many cigar shows, Justin. So, but we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon 23 release a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Well, Bob, tell us about our next whiskey.
So that's going to take us to the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Rye, which is unusual in the fact that this is the first ever limited edition cask strength rye. So they've always done the limited edition cask strength bourbon, but this is the first release of the rye. It's a blend of two separate batches of MGP 95.5, aged between 5 and 7 years. One batch was matured in Sauternes wine cask for 3 years, and then the other was aged in a combination of American and French toasted oak barrels for 6 months. It's 57.2% ABV, so the color on it, honestly, I think it's surprisingly dark for what it is. It's you know, it's more of a brownish bronze to it.
It's definitely darker than the bourbon.
Yeah. On the nose, the Sauternes definitely leaps out. You're definitely getting that wine note on the nose. It's flowers, sweetness, a little bit of honeysuckle, and on the palate, on the palate, there's definitely a sweetness there. There's also a little bit of an astringency, a little bit of dryness on the front of the palate. I definitely get some kind of dusty oak on the back palate. It's got a good mouth coat for me. I mean, it goes front, back, side to side. Thing is I would never pick it out as an MGP rye.
Never, ever would you say this is.
No, it doesn't taste like MGP.
Absolutely does. And that's the one thing I was like, one thing I wrote down, you would never pick this out as a rye individually.
Mm-hmm.
Just from how it is. So they've really.
But the Angel's Envy rye doesn't taste like a traditional anyway.
There's a pepper note to it, but it's nowhere near your traditional rye. But like Maury said, the Angel's Envy rye isn't your traditional, the regular Angel's Envy rye is not your traditional rye. And honestly, out of the regular Angel's Envy and, you know, the two regular, the bourbon and the rye, I always like the rye better. That was always my choice. That flavor profile always met with me. But yeah, this one is very different. And you know, it's their first shot at the cask strength, you know, limited release. And I think it's delicious. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, on the nose, I got this like a cream soda, some black tea, and that floral notes that you say there are there. Big floral notes.
The tea. Yeah, I miss that. The tea is definitely there.
On the palate, I get that baking spice and leather, but it doesn't come out as you think that, oh, those match up with the rye, but it doesn't match up with the rye. So I think the other, you know, cast that they use to age it in and stuff really helped this one a lot, you know, as far as changing the, you know, taking it from that 95.5 that you're so used to and making it cask strength. And again, it doesn't drink like cask strength.
No.
So you'll be fooled by this one, but it doesn't take anything away from it. It's still really enjoyable.
That rye spice is not so much there, is more of like almost a creamy white pepper.
I'm going to be a little contrary and say gingerbread. For me, it was all gingerbread. It was like a gingerbread latte. I just got gingerbread on the front, back, and middle.
Justin.
Really,
tell me it's full of it. Tell me, you know what you're talking about.
So to me, this tastes like a 95.5 MGP rye that someone aged in Sauternes barrels for a while. So it made it a rye you could have.
You read the description.
Made it like a rye you could have with creme brulee or something like that, and then it would contrast well, or rice pudding with cinnamon. And I really liked it.
So you completely missed. I was setting up. It's like, tell Maury's wrong, and what'd you do? No, you just started describing it. It's like, you had your shot. Yeah, it was your. Yeah, you know, he always does it to you.
Audience already knows he's wrong. They don't need my help.
Well, that's true. Yeah, whatever. Audience, you mean people listen to us?
At least four.
Two, three. Yeah, okay.
Is it
four.
Editor?
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like at least four.
Okay. Maybe five on a good day. So
maybe.
Yeah, I this was definitely an interesting one. I found this one very different, very interesting. So.
Totally different than any of the other previous releases.
Well, they've never had a previous release of rye.
Well, than their previous rye. It's their first cast strength, but it's different than their regular rye. It's different than the cast strength bourbon.
Well, their regular rye is, the reason I like it is it still had the rye underneath, but it had almost a candy note on top.
Correct, because it was finished in those Caribbean rum barrels.
That were Plantation XO. Yeah, it was cognac and then rum. So yeah, that was cool. Yeah. But that was the thing that I always liked about it. But this is different, and I kind of dig it. I enjoyed it. So we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Rye 2023 release a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Yahoo.
So that's going to take us to our last release. So Maury, tell us about that one.
Well, if you insist. The last release is the Remus Gatsby Reserve 2023 release, 49.95% ABV or 58.1% proof. The Remus Family Reserve 2023 edition.
49.05.
Oh, I didn't bring my glasses today. 05.
Just wake up.
I'm awake. It's a little blurry after a few ounces.
That's understandable.
It's the second release in the annual series to celebrate F. Scott Fitzgerald's legendary novel, The Great Gatsby.
Do you need me to get you one of those like special magnifying things so you can read the menu, Grandpa?
I'm bar of Fred's Cheaters. Oh, that's much better. You know, 3 shots in, a pair of cheaters. Mercy. Goes a long
Thanks
way.
For joining us.
Yeah. Okay, crafted by master distiller Ian Sturzman and the team at Ross and Squibb Distillery, Remus Gatsby Reserve contained some of the 175-year-old Lawrenceburg, Indiana distillery's finest 15-year-old reserves. Straight bourbon whiskey. Stop it. The 2023 release
features not that funny.
2 bourbon mash bills, 75 corn, 21% rye, 4% marley malt, and 60% corn, 36% marley malt, and 4% barley malt. And is offered at cask strength. The whiskey has a beautiful mahogany color on the nose. You get some caramel, some candy dark fruit, some saddle leather, and a hint of brown sugar with a candied note. On the palate, there's definitely caramel, oak, dark fruit, raisins, char, and brown sugar. I found the finish to be relatively short to medium with notes of saddle leather, cherry, and oak. I thought it was a very nice whiskey, but honestly, from the stuff I'm used to having from Remus, I've had much better in the past. This was not my favorite offering from them. Although it's well made, I think they can do better. Brent, what do you think?
Well, they also didn't like your reading, so you know you guys are eating. Good Lord. Marley malt?
Yeah, man. Marley malt. I know. Cool runnings. Go ahead, Brent.
I know. So, yes, this one, the candy dark fruit there on the nose, you get that with that leather. Really comes through on the palate. Really dark fruit that's like toasted. That's the best way to describe it. You know, charred, Stoody, and the raisins, and the finish, a nice lingering finish. This is different than the other Remus offerings we've had. I didn't like this one as much. That's not saying it's bad. It's just saying that I like the other ones better. So. Justin?
I just keep thinking of a old 80s band, Stewie Stua. Oh, baby. That's all I'm thinking. But,
what the hell are you talking about?
What was that?
Louie Louie. But compared to this song. So I got caramel, dark fruit. It was sweet on the palate. It tried to be spicy on the finish, but didn't quite make it there. And it ended quick. And water and air didn't change it. Thank you.
All right. Well, not much I can add to that rambling mess from you three. So we're going to give the Remus Gatsby Reserved a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
Under protest. We agreed to two.
No, we didn't. What the hell are you talking about?
We wake agreed up. On two.
Wake up.
I've been up. We no, agreed on two.
Are you awake? No, I don't think so.
Did anybody here give it a three?
Yeah. I think we know the title of the show has got to be We Agreed on Two.
I think the title of the show is Somebody's Asleep. So
somebody has not slept in days.
Well, that's all the time we have for today because Maury's got to go take a nap. Thank you, Brent.
Oh, it was a pleasure today.
We're skipping Maury because he's already asleep.
It was so peaceful without hard meat today.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the basement.
We're Sip, Subs, and Smokes. This is Madman Bob. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go tuck Maury in before he passes out on us. Life's too short to drink bad whiskey.
Oh, gosh.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.